Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Hi. And this is our Merry Christmas show.
Yeah.
I know it's only the 23rd. But it's a Merry Christmas show anyway.
The studio's closed on Christmas.
Since we're not going to be on Christmas Day, and I know a lot of you have been looking forward to this time, at least if you're serious about preparing for the Lord's birth, you've been thinking about this for the last 3 or 4 weeks and getting mentally and spiritually prepared, and here we are.
We're at the finish line.
Now, if you do secular holiday and you're going around saying happy holidays, you may have had your house decorated a long time and you may not even know what the season is all about. But let me tell you, it's all about what we're going to read tonight.
Yeah. See, the reason that you don't take down or, you know, if you're doing decoration stuff, a lot of times people take the decorations down right after Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, there's 12 days of Christmas, and
yes,
there's a spiritual reason for that.
Yes.
So,
boy, that's been lost on our culture.
Yeah, majorly. Majorly.
Yeah, 12 days.
Yeah.
And Christmas actually starts at midnight, the night of the 24th, the 25th, and goes till the Epiphany on January 6th.
That is true.
And, you know, now it's been changed to, well, Christmas is over on the 25th, and by that time, you've eaten everything in sight, and you've been decorated for a month, and you can barely stand it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have, like, this little break, and then you have New Year's.
Yeah. It's a really beautiful time between, you know, the Christmas day, Christmas morning, and the octave of Christmas.
Yeah.
That is a great time of rejoicing because of the birth of Jesus Christ. And because everything is so secularized, many people, including Christians, miss this whole opportunity of spiritual enrichment,
yeah,
and spiritual growth, and just this joy of rejoicing in the birth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You know?
And no matter how old you are and how many Christmases you've been through, and I've been through a lot more of them than you have, but...
Not by many.
We can never comprehend in our mind the full meaning of Messiah being born, of the God-man coming into the world,
yeah,
of God entering time, of the kingdom breaking into the world in a physical, real way,
yeah,
and bringing the new covenant. And, of course, of paramount importance is the fact that he is going to provide the way for our sins to be forgiven, for us to be justified no matter what we've done. And for, as we talked about last week, sin just being swept out of our lives,
yeah,
so that we can enter the kingdom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just think about the shepherds that were out there in the field, and all of a sudden they see the heavenly host, and they're singing glory to God in the highest.
Yeah.
You know, and peace to his people on earth. And these shepherds witnessed that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen it.
No. Never seen it. But wow, what a time. And the fact that it was Bethlehem, it was David's city, and the son of David is born there. And isn't it interesting that God works out? We know Messiah has to be born in Bethlehem because of Micah chapter 5.
Yes.
Verses 1 and 2. But Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary was pregnant with Jesus in Nazareth.
Yeah.
So God had to get them to Bethlehem. So yeah, he uses a pagan emperor to set up a law so that they have to leave where they are and go to Bethlehem just as she's about to give birth.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, sometimes we don't see all that.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
We think the laws that are being enacted or stuff like that might be like, we're like, oh my gosh, why are they doing this?
Yeah.
But you never know what's in God's plans.
That's right. And can you imagine Caesar Augustus, the most powerful man in the world at that time, would have no concept, no clue, no idea whatsoever of what was going to happen, because he said, you know, I think we need to take a census so that we can work out the taxes, find out how many people are living in every place. And You know, instead of having them go to the local post office, they have to go back to the town where their ancestors were from.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty weird scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So Joseph said, man, we got to go all the way to Bethlehem now because we're from the house and lineage of David.
Yeah.
So we have to go down all the way when we could just go over here to Nazareth and register.
Yeah.
But no, because the plan had to be worked out. Whew.
Hmm.
But I know you all, I know y'all have heard this a million times, and you hear the, you know, the nativity readings can get like some of the readings during Good Friday and Easter time where you've heard them so many times over the course of your life that you say, oh, yeah, yeah, it's a Christmas reading. But they really are saying some amazing things.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to read, let's read Dr. Luke's account.
Okay.
Chapter two. Yeah, why don't you just start reading there and
okay.
Go wherever you think is good to stop.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Cornelius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph, too, went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judah, to the city of David, that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over the flock, over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today in the city of David a Savior has been born for you, who is Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests."
Ooh, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So it says in those days, you know, that's interesting too, because everything happens at an appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
All through the scripture, everything happens at an appointed time. And there's a reason why Jesus wasn't born 50 years before this or 200 years after this or 500 years after this. No, it happened at that time. So it's an appointed time. And you know, the emperor who gives this decree, they're all living under the Roman rule. They're all in the Roman Empire. Rome is so powerful that there are no wars going on because nobody can fight against Rome. So there's a period of peace. And you all know this from your history, called the Pax Romana. So the empire is basically their known world and everything is at peace. So the time was arranged. The place was arranged, prophecy had to be fulfilled, and interestingly, the prophecies about Messiah being the son of David are so carefully fulfilled that even the angels say, this has happened in David's city.
Yeah.
Doesn't say, like, right over there, or, oh, you guys all live around here, so, you know, Bethlehem's right over there, he says it's in David's city. To even emphasize these prophecies about who Messiah was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And as I think you were talking about last week, where, you know, you never know God's plan with weak people and places you don't expect it. Instead of Messiah, who's going to sit on the throne of David forever and his kingdom is going to have no end, instead of being born in a palace or at the temple or some kind of fanfare, saying, here's Messiah, he's born.
Yeah.
Here's his mother. We took her over to the king's palace because we figured this would be the good place for Messiah to be born.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's born in this dirty squalor. We know that Jesus is creator because he's God, and we know that all things were made by him and through him and for him. But yet, he allows himself to come into this world in this kind of a setting.
Yeah, it's almost like there was no preparation for it at all.
Yeah.
If you think about how they had to go and find a place and there was no room.
Right.
Because there was no vacancy because everybody was back there being enrolled in the census.
Joseph didn't call ahead and make reservations.
You know.
No Expedia.com.
No TripAdvisor.
Yeah.
It's like,
so all the hotels were full.
Yeah. So, you know, book ahead. But, but you see this unfold and you go, this is God's plan.
Yes.
You know, and that's how he intended it.
Yeah.
Here's your place.
And when David was king, boy, he lived in this big palace made out of cedar, it tells us.
Yeah.
And he had armies and he had all this glory and riches and stuff. And now the son of David comes.
Yeah.
Living in a place with smelly animals, with ordinary poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And I know most of you who know me are tired of me saying this, but I always say throw away your nativity sets because it didn't look anything like that. Everybody on the nativity sets is nice and clean and everybody looks European.
Yeah.
And everybody has on really nice clothes.
You got to get a real camel and put it in your front yard.
Yeah. And,
you rode a camel one time.
And if you, like, I did. Oh, I had to go change my clothes right afterwards. And if, you know, many of you have experienced childbirth in a very personal way,
mm-hmm.
you women, and most people have seen a woman right after a baby's born, and they generally don't look like you see pictures of the Virgin Mary and the nativity sets. And yeah. It was a totally different sight that really reflected the poverty of these two. Of Mary and Joseph. Very simple background. Even though they're in the family of David, they're poor. They have kind of a, I don't want to say subsistence existence, but a pretty poor existence. And this is where the Creator comes into the world.
Yeah.
Nobody would have planned that. You know, if you take the traditional thought that Jews would have had about Messiah, that he was going to be a military leader, he was going to be a political, charismatic person who was going to unite everybody into a kingdom, and the Gentiles were going to say, wow, look at that great king they have over there. This was not what they would have been expecting.
Right.
And the fact that this does happen this way just shows how his plan is doesn't necessarily go the way we think a plan should go.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, over the years, as you listen to radio and you listen to other commentators, they'll say, you know, well, gosh, if this was my plan, I wouldn't have him in a
state. Yeah, that's right.
I'd have him somewhere where it's nice. You know, like a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
You know, best yes. restaurants, best hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know.
Nice but, gold bed.
Yeah. You know, cotton flannel sheets.
Yeah.
The whole, you know. Everything. But that is not how God intended it to be.
Yeah.
And yet, really, his birth was announced to a few shepherds by the angel.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it almost with little fanfare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but when you think about the heavenly host praising God, that's pretty big fan. That's pretty big fanfare. But
yes.
as far as the number of people that saw this, very, very small number.
Mm-hmm. And when you think about it,
amazing.
You could have taken a big, powerful angel like Michael or Gabriel. And
well, Gabriel would have had everybody silent.
Yes.
So that's probably why he's like, okay, you can't go Gabriel. Cause he's...
I mean, if you would have had a group of angels show up at the temple and show up in the high priest's
Ooh.
Apartment or wherever he lived.
Wow.
And said, we've got news for you, Mr. High Priest, Your Holiness, or whatever they called them. The Messiah's just been born.
Yeah.
But no, it was to shepherds, second class citizens. They're thought to be shifty. They weren't allowed to testify in court.
Hmm.
These are the first humans that get the word.
Yeah, when you think about it, Zechariah, an angel appeared to Zechariah
mm-hmm.
and told him about the birth of his son, John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And because he didn't believe,
yeah.
he got the silent treatment.
Yeah.
But he was in the temple. He was one of the priests.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. The shepherds, they were in the field watching. You know, they were awake. They were watching. They weren't like sleeping, saying, it's going to be a long night. We might as well get some sleep. And they awake, you know, they're awake to see this amazing sight, and they're the first to get this message. And of course, the concept of shepherds is kind of a good one, because Moses was a shepherd and David was a shepherd. Jesus is going to call himself the good shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're caring for sheep just as he cares for us as sheep. You know, the patriarchs were basically shepherds because Abraham had flocks and Isaac and Jacob took care of animals. I mean, all of these people had a shepherding background that had to do with sheep. And yet they see the glory around them, as you describe, and they're afraid.
Yeah.
And the angels have to say, don't be afraid, like the angels say every time they appear to a human.
They always have to do that.
Don't be afraid. Because we can't even imagine what it's like. I mean, it's not the little chubby thing with a couple of wings.
Little cherub.
Yeah. I mean, if you saw a real cherub, you would go, ah.
Yeah. I recall one time we were on a retreat and, this gentleman said, you know, there was this church that had this fountain in front of it. It was, and they actually use this as a baptismal fountain or font. And, it was out in this courtyard, and the guy came back he was visiting the church one year, and he came back and he goes, what happened to the statues of those angels that you had? And the pastor goes, what? He goes, yeah, at each pillar there was an angel there. There was a statue of these big angels there. He goes, we've never had any statues of any angels.
Whoa. Wow.
Like, whoa. Yeah. Sometimes God allows us to see the spiritual.
Yes.
You know, and, but yeah, that was pretty incredible, because the pastor just said, we've never had any statues of any angels.
Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, he said they were huge. He goes, they were gigantic.
And the shepherds, you know, the angels didn't say, we have good news for the Israelites. We have good news for you guys who live around here. We have good news for all the people that live in Judah. It says we have good news for all people. The good news is for everybody, because the Savior who is born, he's a Messiah. You know, he's the anointed one. The word Messiah comes from the Hebrew Mashiach, that means the anointed one. And the word Christ that we use, of course, comes from the Greek Christos, which means the anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
So this baby who's just been born is the anointed one of God that everybody's been waiting for.
Yeah.
Now, if you were those shepherds, you may or may not understand what they're saying. But one thing would have probably crossed your mind is, why is the Messiah being born in this dump? Oh, Micah, I forgot. Yeah, and it says he's born this day. And he's born at that very time, as the passage points out, it's an appointed time, and in those days. And he's born in the very place that was foretold by Micah,
mm-hmm.
the prophet, who's a minor prophet, but we like him. And it says, you know, the angels say, this is news of great joy. I mean, you guys ought to be really happy about this, because this is going to change everything. They don't say that, but they say this is going to change everything, and it's good news for all people. It isn't just good news for you guys, because they said the great joy will be for all the people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. And you know, as you're talking about that, I'm reading ahead a little bit here in Luke, and it says, when the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go to them to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.
Mm-hmm.
So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. You know, they probably weren't familiar with the word hineni.
Yeah, but they did it.
But they did it. They responded better than the scribes and the Pharisees ever did.
Yes, that's a good point.
You know, we've mentioned that, I know over the last couple of weeks we've been talking about that, where they, where's the Messiah going to be born at? Mm-hmm. Oh, in Judah, you know, Bethlehem. Oh, okay, well, let us know when you find him.
Yeah, have a nice trip.
Have a nice trip, yeah. These shepherds went and got up, and they went and looked for the Lord.
Yeah, right away.
Yeah.
They didn't say, "Oh, I'm sure he'll still be there tomorrow. Let's go."
Yeah. Let's go late. Let's get some sleep. We're tired.
They went right away.
No, they went right away. And that's our call, is to respond to the Lord and go.
Mm-hmm.
Not to go, "Oh, wait a minute. You know, it's been a long day, Lord. I got lots of plans for tomorrow." No, when God calls you, you have a decision to make.
And there's really a measure of faith here.
Yeah.
Because they're going to see Messiah that they've heard about coming for all this time, and he's going to be in this poor place, and he's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he's lying in a manger.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say, "Hey, listen, angels, that can't be the Messiah, because the Messiah's not going to be born in that kind of a place." No, they went because they had a certain amount of faith that said, "Let's go right now and see what's happened."
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. And this angelic presence, you know, it really shows that this is the Son of God. You know, in Hebrews 1 and 6, it talks about, you know, angels, you know, are going to worship him. And this is a, you know, angels don't worship humans. You didn't have angels like going around when David was born or Solomon was born. But now there's angels singing about this because angels worship him, meaning God. So this is truly the God-man. And when they saw a host of angels, they saw heavenly glory. And they saw, you know, God is called, one of his titles is he's the God of hosts, all the hosts of heaven. And there was something going on in the highest heavens. The highest glory was going on now. So it's geared to people that are going to turn to him for their salvation. You know, it's for men of goodwill.
Yeah.
If you're an evil person who doesn't care about any of that stuff, you're not going to turn to him.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, I mean, I guess they just left the sheep there and then they went over to see what was happening.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah. Yeah. It says, when they saw this, they made known the message that had been told to them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told to them by the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary kept all these things reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they believed it. They didn't go there and say, "Hey, listen, this place is a mess. This is a messy looking baby. These are messy looking people. This can't be the Messiah."
Yeah, I mean, the angels.
They believed.
Yeah, the angels describe exactly what they're going to see.
Yes.
And then they see it.
And they see it.
Yeah.
And so they know they're not influenced by the poverty of the circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
They overlook that. Just like when the Magi get there.
Yeah.
They don't say, "Man, can we get you guys a nicer hotel room or something?" Or, I mean, they don't care that the place is a dump.
You know, as you say that, I know we're going to get to Epiphany of the Lord in a couple of shows, but they bow down and worship.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in the presence of the Lord, none of that matters.
Yes, that's right.
All the surroundings don't matter because you're in the you're in the presence of the holiness of the Most High God.
Yes.
And that overwhelms you.
Yes. And it says Mary pondered all these things. You know, all the experiences that she's had, you know, she's trusted God for everything that's happened.
Yeah.
And now this, I mean, how we could never understand what she was thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe someday we'll get to ask her.
Yeah.
Whew. Well, I hope you've had a Merry Christmas and, well, actually you haven't had it yet. 2 days. But Merry Christmas from Gift of Grace Ministries.
And God bless everyone. Have a joyous Christmas season and rejoice in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Lord and Savior of all. God bless everyone. Have a great Christmas and a great week. God bless.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.